Live from the Civic Media Studios at WRCE in Richland Center, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Alba. It is Friday, the 27th of January, 2023. 6 minutes now past the hour of 10 o'clock. We are so happy that you are with us this morning. We are live, as we said, from the ship here in Richland Center, the main ship in RCO, RCE land. And happy to be here. Got to see Ron Fruit, the former owner and still host of the morning show. We're getting ready to retire. But again, he and Beth Fruit doing a great job of ownership here for so very long. Great to see him. I heard from Joanne Krulatz, our news director here at WRCE, WRCO, and also Phil D as well, the station manager here for both stations and the entire gang. Really, really appreciate everybody here for making me feel welcome. Have our own window, as you can see here, in our little setup at RCE. Snow is falling. Looks picturesque here in the Driftless region in southwest Wisconsin. Glad to have you along with us this morning. It's going to be continued snow if you're here in Richland Center throughout most of the day. Not a lot of accumulation, maybe 1 to 2 inches just to make it a little slickery on the roadways. So do be aware of that. Looking for a high today of 32 degrees in Richland Center. Tonight, more snow showers continue, a bit breezy, a low of 11. And tomorrow, Saturday, a 70% chance of snow, maybe 1 to 3 inches more possible on Saturday, and a high near 18. Then looking over at Wausau Bull Falls Radio, today snow showers continue, around an inch of snow possible in Wausau today, a high of 30 degrees. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 8, and tomorrow Saturday, a 20% chance of snow. Not much accumulation in Wausau tomorrow, a high of 14 degrees. And then over in Lake Eyre Radio in Amory, for today, snow showers continue, some patchy blowing and snow as well, an inch of snow possible. Then for tonight, that blustery condition continues, winds and -2, below zero tonight for a low tonight in Amory. And then for tomorrow, Saturday, mostly cloudy and a high of 9 over in beautiful Amory. The results are coming in now. We talked about before the break last hour, Sage Weil, our wonderful CEO, is announcing the results as we speak in real time on the $1 million giveaway yesterday. And it turns out friendship wins, Aaron. The largest category of referrals came from a friend, followed by other and social media. So those are the big winners. So that's great, right? Friends are referring friends. And so
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Also a strong showing for our team up at Wisconsin Rapids, WFHR, WIRR, came right in behind Madison and Milwaukee. And Richland Center, right here, WRCE, WRCO, was right behind them. So there you go. It's fantastic. So we don't know exactly what shows. The big thing I care about is beating dueling tangents because we got beer on the line. We got a six pack, right, Aaron?
That's all that matters, really.
That's all that matters. So I'm waiting for Sage to just tell us whether or not. And if you see Luke darkening the halls, you ask him because he's got the numbers too.
If I see him, I will. Right now, my door is closed.
Oh, okay.
There have been some people talking, so.
A couple of news headlines for you this morning here on a Friday. After 5 Memphis police officers were charged on Thursday in the death of Tyre Nichols following a traffic stop earlier this month, authorities say video footage of the fatal police encounter will be released to the public later today. Amid concerns the violent video will spark national outrage, officials have called for calm and for demonstrations to be conducted in a civil manner. COVID-19, only about 15% of the U.S. population has gotten their updated COVID-19 booster shots, signaling low vaccine uptake across the country. To help increase that number, a panel of independent experts advises the FDA that they voted on Thursday to harmonize COVID-19 vaccines to improve and simplify the process. The National Archives is formally asking former presidents and vice presidents to recheck their personal records for any classified documents or other presidential records. Although, this comes
exactly. Honestly, if you are not already doing that after recent news, then what are you doing?
Remember Trigvi Olsen from the Lincoln Project this week on Wednesday? He said Cheney's just Dick Cheney's just watching all this going, amateurs.
Yeah, definitely. <You know?
laughs> this news comes in the wake of classified documents discovered in the homes of former presidents Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, and President Joe Biden over the last year. Overseas now, a U.S. military operation killed a senior ISIS leader and 10 members of the terror group in northern Somalia this week, two senior Biden administration officials confirmed yesterday. Bali al-Assadi, the ISIS leader killed, was responsible for fostering and growing a presence in ISIS in Africa and funding the group's worldwide operations, including in Afghanistan. Those are the news headlines. Of course, yesterday we were here last night in Richland Center for most of the meeting, the town hall meeting with citizens, and talking about the proposed closure of the Richland campus. Also in attendance was State Senator Howard Markline, State Representative Tony Kurtz, and Vice Chancellor for University Relations, right-hand man to President Jay Rothman, was here last night, and talk about that and more, along with Sean Murphy Lopez, the vice chair of the Richland County Board. Stay with us, all that and more, listening to the Tom Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. The Todd Allball Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10:15 here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live here at the WRCE studios in Richland Center, Wisconsin. And I believe Sean Murphy Lopez is actually going to be maybe in the studio, maybe on his way. One second here. We're doing this in real time, ladies and gentlemen. One second. Aaron, give us a little update here. You're looking at, can you see the chat, our Civic Media chat? Because our CEO is giving us real time of who won this contest between us and Dueling Tangents. So can you read off a couple of the winners there while I text our friend here, Sean Murphy Lopez?
And unfortunately, Luke and Brian won by a smidge. Smidge is exactly what Sage said. Dueling Tangents and the Devil's Advocates were also neck and neck most of the day, but the Devils pulled ahead in the afternoon, despite one of our local business owners in Madison here having three different entries because he has multiple businesses and saying Dueling Tangents for all of them. But we did have a strong showing, so that's good at least.
Now we have to pay because I do not welch on a bet. You understand? So now I'm shocked that Luke has not come in and bragged about this. I'm stunned that the Lukester has not made an appearance in the control room there with you, already asking for his beer.
Maybe he's just sleeping in and smiling in his sleep, knowing that we're all jealous and ready to buy him some beer. But Sage sent another message. He said, but I say they owe you at least one beer, given that they play out in twice as many markets.
Well, that's the thing. Hang on, I'm just finishing up. Sean Murphy Lopez, apparently he's on his way in. This is fantastic. He'll be here live with us.
That's
live
awesome.
In person.
Yeah, we didn't figure it out ahead of time is the problem.
Like a lot of things in the show, we talk about it, but then actually having, you know, and mostly that's Todd's lack of follow through a lot of times. He's motoring here across beautiful Rockbridge in northern Wisconsin. So he'll take his time. And when he gets here, he gets here. And then we'll talk a little bit about UW Richland then. We could talk about it until he gets here. But yes, back to the matter at hand. So you and I, our show, we go to Richland Center here and we go to Wausau, and we go to Amory. We have three markets. Dueling Tangents has the entire civic media empire. They have Madison, Milwaukee, now Green Bay, Oshkosh, Wausau, Wisconsin.
Although not Wausau, because that's because
Chad Holmes. Because
of
Chad Holmes' show. Thank you. Yes, Chad Holmes from 2 to 4.
But almost every single.
They have everything but Wausau. So the fact that we almost beat them with it's like having a contest with one arm tied behind their back, Aaron, and we almost did it.
It's close.
So I say just wait until we get a couple more stations under our belt, and then we'll see. Then we'll see if we can take Luke and Brian down. Well, I'm not a sore loser. Congratulations to Luke and Brian. Let me know what your favorite beverage is, and we will get that to you. We will not welch on a bet here on the All Ball Show. I believe in paying those things off. So, but once again, taking a risk, and it did not turn out well for Toddy, but it was a lot of fun. like a lot of my life. It didn't always work out, but it was a lot of fun.
And if Sean Murphy Lopez is not yet here, I imagine he'll be potentially interested in staying a little bit later through the end of the show. So perhaps now we could do the board game of the week.
I think that's a fantastic idea. You read my mind. I was just going to go to that. So thank you, Aaron. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for our weekly segment, Board Game of the Week.
Another twofer. So, this week I've got two games. It's not the same as last time. There were two. Last time it was a bit of an attack, perhaps. But this time I'm starting with Mini Uno Party Favor. Something I showed Todd yesterday. I found it in my backpack. For those of
you, this is my favorite youngest niece, Isabel, who loves things in miniature. Miniature stuff drives me up the wall. But she is very talented. She'll make like these miniature sculptures, earrings. I mean, she's a fantastically talented. I couldn't do it, but please go ahead, Aaron. She's going to love this miniature Uno. Could not believe it.
For those of you watching on Facebook and Twitter and everything, you will now see it. But I'll describe it for everyone else. It's a little box of cards that's about 2 inches tall and 1 inch wide. However, the cards inside are not 1x2. The cards inside, if I can get this ancient decaying cardboard box open, are 1 inch by 1/2 inch approximately. So there's two rows of cards inside this tiny box. I used to have two of these, but I brought one with me to Boy Scout camp a lot, and it is lost to the sands of time.
I might still
have it, but it's definitely in much worse condition than this one. It's a pain in the butt to shuffle, believe it or not. And difficult to play, but still very fun. And if I can find more, I'll get more. Maybe give them out as gifts.
Very good. All right. That's number one.
Number one.
And so it's the exact same as Uno like you always play it. It's just that it's super small.
Yep. That's exactly it. It's just Uno, but your grandma can't read it.
I'm not sure Uncle Todd can read it, but maybe.
Well, at least the numbers are big on the cards. The cards are just
it's a Trump version of Uno, because in order to hold those cards, you have to have very small hands. All right. Thank you. Number two, a bonus of that was a bonus one. The actual board game of the week, Mr. Zombers.
Yes. This week, I am going to tell you about Carcassonne. Which is spelled, in case you want to look for it, Carcassonne. And it is pronounced Carcassonne. So it's a game about the French countryside. You're placing tiles and building up your city and getting points. It's the first game to feature meeples, the little iconic board game people that are just a flat wooden piece carved in the shape of a person.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like a gingerbread person, basically.
Right, exactly. And it's a shape that is very recognizable. And they were invented for this game. I mean, obviously, other games used wooden cutouts, but meeples specifically meeples. Are now in all kinds of games.
All right.
It's 2 to 5 players, takes about 30 to 40 minutes, costs about $25, and it is very easy. You have a tile on the board, and it has each sides of the tile. They can have roads, they can have cities, walls for the cities, grass, mm-hmm. or maybe a little cathedral. And you have tiles in your hand, and you put them down in a place where it makes sense on the map. So if there's a side of the tile open that has a city wall, you can do one with a city interior. You don't put grass right next to it. So it is very self-explanatory. The visual language is really easy to understand. And when you put down a tile, you can also put a meeple on it, on one of the features, like on that field or on the road. And when that feature is completed, you get points for it. So once you have enough walls to close up your city, you get points for that and you get your meeple back. So it's all about deciding whether you're going to try and build your features and put meeples on it when you only have a limited supply, or if you're going to try and impede other people's progress by maybe they're trying to build a big city, but you have a piece with a wall and they really have only have one opening. So you just close it off for them, you know, help them finish their feature and make it tiny. but it's really fun. Doesn't take too long. Like I said, 30 to 40 minutes. The biggest downfall of it is that you need a decently sized table because you're placing a bunch of tiles. But it also has a lot of longevity because it's simple, but there's depth to it, and it has approximately 1 million expansions. And if you buy it now, you're going to get at least a few of them in there. I think they all come with the river now, which basically it's a little pregame where you have tiles with rivers and you make a river, and then you have to build around that. So just a little, little extra
very tactile game.
Yeah, it's a good time.
All right, great, fantastic. Price on it? We have a price on that at all?
Right, that one is about $25.
Not bad. Yeah, it's gonna last a while. Tactile stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Because it's just tiles.
A good if it's this weekend, it's gonna be cold. You're gonna want to stay inside by a fire or some pajamas. You're gonna want a game that's gonna last a while. It sounds like one that could last a while and kind of spread out.
Yeah, and you can pretend that you're in the French countryside and look at all the nice grass.
Who wouldn't want to pretend you're in the French country? I've never been in the French countryside, but I can imagine what it might be like.
And so, yeah, we've got Mini Uno Party Favors and Carcassonne, and those are the board games of this week.
Very nicely done, Mr. Zomers. Our weekly board game of the week. Two great selections there. They're both fantastic. But when I saw that Mini Uno deck, the micro Uno deck, I thought immediately. I said to Aaron, I said, my niece Isabel would love that. So can people still buy it?
I don't know. That's the thing I'm going to have to look for because I remember where
I've never seen that before.
I know. I don't remember which birthday of mine it was, but my mom and I were at Hobby Lobby looking for pirate themed stuff. And we saw in the party aisle, there was these.
Last year?
Maybe.
Nothing wrong with pirates. Nothing
wrong with pirates. I just saw those and I was like, Mom, please, can we get these? And then we did. And not everybody showed up. So I had a few extras and I just kept them.
Oh, very good. Well, good for you. Good for you. No, I thought that was fantastic. Mini Uno here. We're going to turn back to the subject that we started with on the show this morning, and that is this town hall meeting at the UW Richland campus last night. And again, for those of you who maybe slept under a rock or don't know about this issue, Jay Rothman, the president of the UW system, has proposed last fall, November, over the Thanksgiving week holiday, dictated that the campus here in Richland Center, the UW Richland campus, attached now to Platteville, would be closed. And he ordered interim chancellor of Platteville, Tammy Ivedovich, to close the campus and said that the report had to be done by January 15th. And as we pointed out before, next to no public input was done on this at all. She made a couple of calls.
I wouldn't even say next to no. I would just say no.
Well, I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt because she made a couple of perfunctory telephone conversations, I believe, with the mayor and one or two county board members, not to really consult them, but just to kind of say like, hey, here's what's going on. So I don't want to say there was no conversation, but very, very next, there was no public comment period. There was no town hall meeting. There was no listening session by interim chancellor Tammy Ivedovich. And let me just say for a second here, if you're, this is breaking news. Mini Uno available on Amazon.com for $7.18. It just popped up on my screen. A friend of mine who's listening in real time just got that is on the spot. Yes, Mini Uno, $7.19 at Amazon Choice. So there you go. That's breaking news. But to get back to this Richland campus thing, Tammy Ivanovich is the interim chancellor at Platteville. Now, I don't know if she's really seriously in the running or not, but I mean, come on now. Is she really the best person for the job after this fiasco? I don't know about that. We're going to come back and talk with Sean Murphy Lopez after this. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allbo Show live from Richland Center on the City. Welcome back to the Todd Allbo Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's 10:33. We are live here in the WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center. Great to be back in the Driftless region, the Driftless area here, my hometown, and back at my home station, even though this wasn't my physical. Well, I was back in the old days, back in the 1949 station, but new and improved is what it is here. I mean, there's a lovely kitchen and carpeting, all this room. The studios here, Aaron, are like at least twice as big as our studios at Madison.
For now.
And the amount of food. I mean, my gosh. I mean, I'd love to be here full time, but then again, I'd be gaining weight like no tomorrow. They've got cake. I mean, I brought the cake in. They already had cake or stuff from Christie's Bakery from Ron Fruit's birthday last week. Now Beth Fruit's birthday, I think, is this week. There were 24 cupcakes and a bag of candy people bring in for Phil, me, and Bo. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of a double-edged sword that lately we haven't had much food in the studio here.
Oh, it's amazing. Well, anyway, we're glad to be here at WRCO with all these wonderful people surrounding us. None more so than our next guest here sitting next to me, if you're watching on YouTube and Facebook, the vice chair of the Richland County Board, Sean Murphy Lopez, one of the busiest guys around the area, and he made time for us in person. I thought we were going to be on video, but here he is. He walks in the door, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Mr. Vice Chairman, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me again, Todd. It's a great night last night.
It was quite a night. And for those of you who didn't hear at the top of the show, we talked about this in the first hour. I got there. I had meetings in Madison, so I wasn't able to get there right away. I was there for about the last hour or so-ish. Saw a lot of these great stories that people told, and then heard the comments at the end from State Representative Tony Kurtz and State Senator Howard Markline and the Vice President for University Relations for the UW system, my old friend Jeff Barant. And I told the story earlier. I tell an abbreviated one now. I worked with him at the Capitol. He was the chief of staff for Democratic State Senator Bob Jouk, while I was chief of staff for former State Senator Dale Schultz, Republican. And I asked Jeff on the record last night, asked him what he told. I said, just tell me, what did you tell these guys? And he says, well, what do you mean? I said, when did you tell them the campus was closed? And who? He said. I said, Markline and Kurtz. He said, well, they said it, you know, the day before. And I said, come on now, Jeff. I said, we knew known each other a long time. We took down Scott Walker together on environmental stuff in northern Wisconsin, spent a lot of nights together at the Capitol. I said, you're telling me that you make about $150,000, $200,000 a year and your number one job is to keep these guys informed and you didn't tell them you were closing the campus in their district, the co-chair of the joint finance, until the day before? And he walked out the door. And so I followed him up to the parking lot and kept on talking. I said, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I just, these people need answers. I said, Jeff, did Tommy Thompson, the former president of the system, lay this in your boss's lap? No, he said, it was my boss's decision. It was Rothman's decision. And I said, so you're telling me he made this decision unilaterally? And I said, and you didn't tell these guys until the, and he said, that's the answer. It might not be the answer you like, but that's the answer. He didn't say that's the truth. He said, that's the answer. As you know, words matter. So what I was struck by last night is this whole line basically from, and by the way, I did have a nice civil talk with both Senator Markline and Representative Kurtz, and I invited them on this program anytime they want. I said, it's not a gotcha thing. I just want people to get answers. I was so inspired by you and by all the local folks here that there's so much energy and positivity in this community. People are doing whatever they can, but at some point, heartwarming stories and you know, foot leather on the streets ain't going to get it done. At some point, it's either got to go through the courts or there's got to be legislation. Somebody's got to step up. And we've been playing the song, you know, we need a hero. You're a hero in this community, but we need more people that can take the ball the next step. Mm-hmm. So you're a calmer guy than I am, and you sat and talked to Representative Kurtz. I'm not going to ask you all the details of that conversation. What was your takeaway overall from last night?
Well, I think my takeaway was that we learned some new things, and that allows us to take the next steps. There were a few questions that got asked and some answers that were given that I'd say were some new information for me.
And such as?
So Dorothy Thompson got up and she said, "Who made this decision?" That was the moment. As you said, Jeff got up and said, "Rothman looked at the numbers. He made the decision." So we never had gotten a straight answer before about who had made the decision. If that's exactly the truth, I don't know, of course, but right. That's the answer we got. And we're in the process, myself and the county board chair and the chair of the education committee, of setting up a meeting with UW system staff to get to the table finally to talk about this. They wanted Platteville staff to be there. We said, no, not Platteville staff. We want to talk with you.
Yeah.
And now we're hearing from Mr. Brandt that Mr. Rothman's not going to be at that initial meeting.
Surprise, surprise.
So, you know, I think what we need is we need to talk to Mr. Rothman. And I just got off the phone with the county board chair, and I think that's what we're going to be asking them. You know, let's sit down with Mr. Rothman. We invited them over here next Friday to meet with the three of us. Let's get Mr. Rothman to come here too, because he's making these decisions for Madison, but he's never coming to UW Richland. And that's where we want to have the meeting. So I do hope now that we have that answer that we can sit down with Mr. Rothman and really, really have a heart to heart and start forming a more positive relationship. That's really what we want. We want to move forward. We want this to get fixed. Another thing I learned last night was some of the negotiations behind the scenes with Representative Kurtz. You know, my impression of Representative Kurtz, he was telling it like it was. He was straight with the community. This is what I'm telling folks. I'm talking like him. Right, you know, right. You all have a proposal. You're making a budget request of $4 million a year. I'm taking it to my colleagues. They're saying $4 million for 60 students. He's, you know, that doesn't pencil out. And I talked to him afterward and I said, I don't think it pencils out either. The problem, it doesn't pencil out for the county because we have an investment in these buildings too. We need more students. This campus was sabotaged. It was driven into the ground. We need that number to get back up for us too. And what good is it for our community if working people can't get their degrees and their education here and earn a better living? This is $400 a week out of people's pockets if they can't get a bachelor's degree. We looked at those numbers last night. So this has very real effects on everyday people's lives. If this campus closes, your tuition, it's going to go up almost $2,500 a year if you got to go to Platteville. Mm-hmm. So if you got a student, you know, you're thinking about this $6.6 billion surplus or whatever it is, they want to give you a tax cut. But then on the other end, they're going to make you send your students, or if you're a student yourself, you're going to have to go to Platteville and you're going to have to pay $2,500 more a year to get your education now because they did this. So, you know, more money in people's pockets or less money in people's pockets. We're advocating for more. They're advocating for less. And I don't think they would say it like that, but I think that's the truth of what's going on here.
What I was struck by, Sean, is, and I think that, yes, I think that Representative Kurtz, I told this to his face. I said, everything I don't know well, I say everything I hear about you, everything I read about you, that you're a decent human being. You're a decent guy. I think you're trying as best you can to a degree. I think he's earnest to a degree, but I guess I'm just struck by this. I asked him last night, I said, doesn't it bother you that a guy who makes three times at least what you do didn't give you the courtesy to give you a heads up? doesn't it bother you that Jay Rothman made this decision without ever having visited the Richland campus? Doesn't it bother you that Jay Rothman uses this reasoning of a low enrollment, but no one's being accountable or saying why they starved the campus of funds and staff? I said, doesn't it seem weird that I said, I don't know, Mr. Kurtz, have you ever been a small business owner? But I have. And I said, if someone said, I'll basically give you $600,000 to do a job for you and you don't have to pay me, I'd take that deal. And I said, that's exactly what the foundation did here at the Richland campus, private money, $6 million last night. Reported that there is in the funds here in the private foundation. They offered up 600,000 of that to Platteville for a recruiter, and we're told no, you can't do it. So what bothers me is that why aren't our state elected officials is incensed about this than I am and our local community here at Richland Center is? That would bother me if I was a fiscal Republican in the state legislature. Mm-hmm. I would want a fiscal bureau report. I want a state audit bureau report and find out what's going on at system. Why aren't they being transparent? Why is one guy who's been in the job for 3 months able to close down an entire facility? I mean, do you get the sense of, am I blowing this out of proportion? Is this Todd going nuts? Or is this some of the same things the county has asked as well?
Well, this is now a statewide issue. And when me and Representative Kurtz were the last ones in the room last night, and we had a good talk. He said he's getting calls from all of his colleagues that have two-year campuses too. And now they're all worried about this.
But that is due in large part to this guy sitting to my right now, Sean Murphy Lopez, because you and the Friends of the Richland campus have gone around and had meetings with people at all the other 12 two-year institutions, and you're doing a great job of getting this word out. And it has become a statewide issue thanks to the folks here at Richland Center.
Well, in part, there were people in some of those other counties who knew what was going on, and they were starting to raise the alarm bells. But yes, we did reach out, and yes, we're getting a lot of people interested in this story, and for good reason. I mean, they're worried if they have a $5 million renovation of the cafeteria, taxpayers are about to start paying for that. Should they really do that if the UW system is going to pull out? So I think that's a real big concern for Representative Kurtz is it's a statewide issue now. Mm. You know, what is the UW system going to do? I think the message I was delivering to Representative Kurtz last night was look at enrollment at UW-Madison. That's gone up 20% in the past 10 years. The UW colleges, the 13 two-year branch campuses where people can get an affordable tuition, that's gone down 60%. So what are they doing? They're working on closing down all 13 two-year branch campuses is what it seems as if their plan is. We're not hearing that answer straight from Mr. Rothman, but we are hearing it from our legislators. So that, I think, is the plan, is to concentrate students in these campuses where it costs more. So it's going to be more money out of everyday people's pocket because the state legislature, they've reduced someone from the public said this so well last night. He said, back when I went to the teacher's college here in Richland Center in the 60s, they paid 80% of my tuition. Now it's 20%.
Yeah.
And so that's more money out of your pocket if you want to go and get an education. So that they've defunded education in a way that is a little sometimes hard to understand. You really got to examine those numbers. Because the raw number has gone up, but it hasn't kept pace with inflation. They at certain years have made cuts.
I thought it was a Joanne Krulos, our news director, was on earlier, and she had a great quote from former Dean Dion Kempthorne last night, who said, and I'm paraphrasing slightly, perhaps I don't want to misquote him, but I believe that the quote was that. President Rothman said this is a hard decision. Perhaps it was a hard decision because it was the wrong decision. I thought that's classic Dion Kempthorne, being able to be succinct and get right to the bone of the matter. Yes. It was the wrong decision. And I want you to keep me honest, because I want to make sure I'm getting out accurate information. Was there anybody from the governor's office there last night?
No, there was not.
And see, that's I mean, I have to be fair, call it the way I see it on both sides. You invited members, someone, the governor or a representative. I mean, I don't understand why no one from the governor's office showed up. I don't understand why other Democratic elected officials didn't show up last night, because this is a statewide issue. And I thought it was very interesting, Representative Kurtz's comment. He said, well, we could put this in the budget or attempt to, but listed other examples allegedly he had put in that Governor Evers voted out or vetoed out. And my point is, put them in a box. You really think that a three-time state superintendent of this state is going to veto more money for education? I can't imagine that. But put the governor on the hot seat. This should not be a partisan issue. This should be, and Richland Center is not making it a partisan issue. There are mega Republicans and there are Elizabeth Warren Democrats in this community that both want this campus to stay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you. I don't think
Sorry, I set you up that poorly. We'll come back. We'll get Aaron's response to that. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Show and we are live in the RC, that's Richland Center, to you and me. It is 10:50 on the time and temperature sign. If you're going to be driving today, do so carefully. A little inch or two of snow here in southwest Wisconsin. Great, we had a window here. The snow is falling. It's like we're living in a globe. I stayed at my mom's last night. I got out of the truck and I looked up and oh my, there's stars. Oh, yeah. Stars. Imagine that out here in the Driftless area. So I love it out here. Talking with the vice chair of the Richland County Board, Sean Murphy Lopez, who has been working diligently with the friends of the campus group and the community here to get real answers, to actually get something done. I mean, I come on this show and yes, we want something done too. My goal here is two things. A, to motivate people to kind of light a fire and say, hey, here's from my past experience, I can tell you some of this stuff that's going on. But also, I told Mark Klein and Kurtz to their faces last night and Jeff Brandt, I said, all I want is the truth. I just want people to get real answers. And it's not necessarily about laying the blame. It's about what can we learn to what led us to this so it doesn't happen again. And then to your point, what you're trying to do is how do we actually get something done to move forward?
Yeah.
And so I appreciate everything that you're doing. I think one of the things last night was people want to know how this decision was made. And it seems like it's been a ping pong ball back and forth. Nobody really wants to own it. Could you give us any insight from last night's meeting on a couple of things that were said?
Sure. Yeah. Senator Mark Klein mentioned to the crowd that the Board of Regents had made this decision. They make the decisions about closings. And you know, I think we heard Jeff Brandt correct that later. And I went up to Mr. Markline afterward and I said that I had talked to the president of the UW Board of Regents, Supervisor Gentis, and I did back in December when we visited them in Madison. And the president of the Board of Regents, her name is Karen Walsh. And she told us that they did not make the decision about this because it's not a closing. This is the end of in-person instruction. And of course, we're all in the community going like, wait, you've already transferred the students. You gave all the faculty new jobs. How is this not a closing? So we're getting fed different information. And I went up to Mr. Markland afterward and I said, could you help us figure this out? Because they're saying it's not a closing and that Rothman can make the decision. But you're saying that the Board of Regents made the decisions to close us. So we're not getting straight information. It feels very lawyerly. We don't feel like we're being told the honest truth. Can you help us with that? So I hope Mr. Markline
responds to that.
I think he nodded his head. You know, Markline's pretty quiet.
Kind of not saying much, but just kind of acknowledging what you said.
Yeah.
Not just you, but me and other people I saw came up to them as well.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is that, I mean, this article, the editorial, the Valley Sentinel that we've gone over a few times, we had the co-editors, Nicole and Taylor, thank you very much, on the show yesterday. And we went over this, and here's the language, and you've spoken about this before. The 1966 agreement specifically lays out the UW system's obligation to maintain the campus and to provide adequate instructional and administrative staff. The only way the agreement can be terminated is in June of any given year if, One, the legislature fundamentally changes how the branch campus operates, the legislature, or two, if the legislature doesn't provide adequate funding. And so that's a legal question, right? Is does one or both of those things have to happen? The legislature isn't changing, you know, how the branch campus operates, legislature. So the argument would have to be the legislature changed the funding. So who's in charge of the funding? The Joint Finance Committee, who writes the bill.
But I also have a question with that. So yes, it says that then they can terminate the contract if they reduce funding, but it doesn't, that specific entry does not say they have to have a reason to reduce funding. So basically, in theory, what they're saying, unless there's more regulations elsewhere, are they saying like, we're all good unless they just decide to not pay for any reason?
Well, if it's not paying, it's appropriating funding in the budget, basically. The legislature allocates funding for the system. They don't necessarily go through campus by campus, is my understanding, and say, well, Platteville gets this much. It's the biennial budget is presented by the system, and within that biennial budget, it's laid out, enumerated, campus by campus. So this is one thing that I asked Representative Kurtz last night, and he was kind enough to say he'll try to get an answer, is that I can't find in the biennial budget proposal by system how it's broken out in the 2 years. And I think you've had the same frustration, am I right?
Right. Yeah, we can't find that information. And, you know, I think what we're hearing from UW system staff through the media right now is that they're not planning on breaking this contract. And so I think what they are doing, I think this is maybe the definition or an example of doublespeak, because on the one hand, they're saying we're ending in-person instruction and they're taking the students and the faculty away. On the other hand, they're saying, no, we're going to honor this contract. And it kind of feels like they're trying to force the little guy here into a corner to say, well, we want out of the contract.
Exactly.
Because who's paying the utility bills? Who's going to be... Do we have to mothball these buildings? We're just going to let buildings sit empty in our beautiful community. I mean, that will really hurt people's morale. It will take down property values. It's going to suck $6.5 million out of the local economy based on that economic impact study. So they're really, we just need UW system to be honest with us. We need to have a straight conversation with them about this. And we need to come up with a solution for how to turn this around. We need a better solution too. It's not just them. They've been put in a bad situation as well. We need to collaborate to come up with something positive to revive this campus.
And there, my friends, is the rub, as they say. That's in my opinion, you're exactly right. Remember, Jay Rothman is one of the most powerful attorneys in the state of Wisconsin. He ran Foley & Lardner. And now you don't think he has a battery of lawyers around him figuring this out? General counsel, the guy at system, a very smart guy. From what I'm told and from what I know, they're exactly trying. They're legally keeping the campus open so that they want you folks here in Richland Center to come back and say, we can't, we need out of this. And in a minute, they will say, oh, sure, now we'll let you out. They're closing it without being held accountable. You've hit it absolutely square the head. Thank you, Sean Murphy Lopez, so much for coming in today. Keep up the good fight. We'll be here however we can help to get the word out. Hopefully we can hold Jay Rothman's feet to the fire. Because that guy needs to be investigated. There needs to be a complete investigation of Rothman and system. And remember, Jeff Barant, who was here last night, he is best friends with Maggie Gao, the chief of staff for Tony Evers. This thing could be settled in a phone call between Maggie Gao, Jeff Barant, and Howard Markline. It could be done, folks. It could. They've got an opportunity in joint finance to get this done, and Markline and Kurtz could do it if they want. It's been a great show. No time for Mimosa on Friday. So cheers, everybody. Without my mimosa, keep banging your drum. Don't give up. We're going to fight this thing till the end. Have a great weekend. See you next week. You've been listening to the Tallyball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Your tongue, keep banging on, and your day will come.